you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Praise God.
Yes.
I'm Gary and this is my wife Gloria.
Hi everybody.
And we're coming to you from the east coast of Australia. This is Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this particular video that you're watching is the GFCD Q&A Bible study. Now, why do we call it Q&A? Because you guys out there watching from the third dimension can use your smart devices and ask us questions, and we will answer them. I had a great question from last night's Bible study, which I answered this morning. Can't remember the gentleman's name. Do you know who it is?
Genesis.
That's right. I should be able to remember that name, eh? That was first book of the Bible. So great question, Genesis. And I did my best to answer it. If you want further information, ask me. But I think hopefully I nailed it. Okay.
And if you want to see Genesis's question, which group was or Bible study was it in?
I don't know, because see, we live stream to two pages and three groups, as well as to YouTube. So it's a bit hard for me
you
to,
might
look
have
out
to go and check
where the question's coming from. I just answer them.
That's okay.
Look, if you've got questions, just ask them. And I might take me a few days to work my way through all the questions, but I will answer them. So right now I'm going to, and the people on the screen are from the USA. We've got Emmanuel Gentle from over there in Colorado Springs, and Cherry Tull, who is in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, Emmanuel and Cherry will introduce themselves completely when they reply to the first or make their first comment. But right now I'm going to hand over to Gloria, and she's going to open with prayer and lead us through communion. Over to you, Gloria.
Thank you. If you see me looking around from time to time, it's just that we've got a little 12-week-old puppy around our toes. So I'm just keeping an eye on what he's getting up to. But thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And if you would like to join us with communion and you haven't got your elements ready, just get up and go and get something that you can for any of those people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is risen. Come join us and fellowship with us in communion. So right now, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your great love for us, for your love for all mankind, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us and will never leave nor forsake us. We open this Bible study believing that the word that is spoken today goes out into the world and reaches those people whose hearts are hungry to know you, to understand the word, and to be set free from the bondage of the law that's been preached so much around the world and in churches today, and that people will have a revelation of grace in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, as I was preparing for communion today, I was thinking that this week here in Australia, we commemorate what we call Anzac Day, and those initials A-N-Z-A-C, which makes the word Anzac, represent the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, the people that went to war, to World War One, but also anyone who has given service in any of the services here in Australia or New Zealand. And it's a very reflective day. And I particularly wanted to bring this out today as recognition of those men and women who have given their lives or have given their lives, but maybe not their life, to the service of protecting people in their homeland and protecting the freedoms that we enjoy today. So in the word, it says in John 15:13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And this is what many people in the services do. They may not actually end up losing their life in a combat, but when they come home, they suffer greatly from things like PTSD, homelessness, and all kinds of other terrible things that change because their lives are so changed once they've been into conflict. So if a man or a woman would do this for their family, their friends, their country, how much greater is it for when we think of our Lord Jesus, who laid down his life, not just for his friends, but for all mankind for all time. And he didn't just lay down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for those that hated him. How many people would do that? In Luke 23:34, it says, "Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." What great love Jesus had to come and sacrifice his life for not just the people that loved him, but for everybody, once for all time. And so when we come and we remember him, which is what he's asked us to do, to take the bread and to take the juice, we come and remember Jesus, and we remember the sacrifice that he made. We remember that his body took those lashes, that carried and took away from us the sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities that we as fallen human beings in this fallen world have been inflicted with. And so we have the right now to say, by his stripes we were healed, because in Jesus' body he carried all of that. So Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that your body paid for our healing. We remember you. And as we take the cup, we remember the precious blood of Jesus that was shed, that poured from his body when the spear pierced his side, and it paid for the sin of the whole world. My sin, my sin nature, was nailed to the cross with Jesus, and it was buried. And when I came up out of the grave with Jesus, I came up a brand new person, a brand new spirit. When I confessed who Jesus is as my Lord, believed in my heart that he was risen from the dead, I became a brand new person. And all of that was possible because the blood of Jesus was shed, and because he is alive and living today. And so we take and drink of this precious emblem, remembering the blood of Jesus and the victory that's been won through him rising from the grave. We thank you, Jesus, in your thank precious you, name. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise your holy name. We remember you this day, for you are beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
We praise you. We glorify you. We love you.
Yes.
We worship you.
Yes.
You are the King of Kings
and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is a Bible study, and we are in the book of Hebrews. And today we're going to be starting at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. So if you guys out there watching from the third dimension, that's you. If you guys have got a Bible, then grab it and open it up to Hebrews 7, because you can't just accept what we say. You need to study it out for yourself. You know, this, the whole purpose of this Bible study is to teach you guys how to rightly divide the word of truth for yourself. It is so important, because once you can rightly divide the word of truth for yourself, you will no longer be teacher dependent. You'll be God dependent, all right? So here we go. Let's share screen. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. And Cherry, if you can get yourself ready to be the first person to make comment, and don't forget to introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension when you do. So I'll just share screen. I use the Jakarta Bible app if you think it's pretty good. Not that I'm affiliated with them. Here we are. I'm in 9. Wait until I go back. Okay.
Just go chapter. Mm-hmm.
What do we want? 8.
8 and verse 7.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gloria, can you read from verse 7? When did I scroll up?
So the heading is A New Covenant.
A New Covenant. And I want you to read right to the end of the chapter, please. Okay. I know it's a big chunk. And there's an enormous amount in it. So take your time when you're making comments, Cherry, and go through it in depth, and also Emmanuel. I think it's really, really important, because this kind of brings it all into context about this new covenant. So over to you, Gloria. Mm-hmm. 7 down to the end of the chapter, please.
For if that first covenant had been faultless.
What's the first covenant? The first covenant is the law of Moses, the law of Moses. So we're comparing this new covenant that Jesus is establishing, with the first covenant. Can you start again, please, Corey?
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
Wow. As you can see, there's a lot in that. So over to you, please, Cherry.
I have to go to 1 Peter, 2 Peter 4, where it says that what he's talking about is that the old covenant was the laws and the traditions and going through before the priest. But see, in Ezekiel, he talked about, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And so the Lord, he comes in, he now, because of what he did on the cross, because he died on the cross for us, when we accept the Lord, he comes to live inside of us. And so he, it says in 2 Peter 1, 4, that we become partakers of a divine nature. A divine nature comes to live inside of us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes to live inside of us. This is what he's talking about. The new covenant is the fact that we're changed, and that he comes to live in us. And that's our new covenant. He becomes our priest. He becomes our king. He becomes our shepherd. The old things are passed away, and the new things come, and there's a relationship there. That's what he's speaking of here. But also another thing is that the covenant, because of the blood of Jesus, we have these great and precious promises that comes with the new relationship. We walk in the light. The blood of Jesus now gives us redemption. This is in something I've written. It gives us redemption. We're chosen. You know, he chose us. He knew before the foundation of time, he chose us. And then we become his workmanship. As we start to live in God, we become his workmanship. And we're created to do powerful things. We become accepted. In Ephesians, it talks about becoming a new creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But he has absolutely transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness. I don't have that right in front of me. Out of the kingdom of darkness. And we're living now in his covenantal priesthood. And we're kings and priests with him. Mm. Okay, that's about all. But anyway, he comes and he makes, but we have our choices too. We have to get into the word and we have to center our focus on him. So it is also a choice. But he becomes our shepherd. He becomes our priest. And he intercedes for us, especially in the very beginning. He becomes our priest and he becomes our shepherd. And John 10 talks about him being a shepherd. And we have to listen. We go by our peace. We go by the inner peace. If you got confusion, you're not. You know, you got to get quiet and listen to him. So anyway, probably said too much. But anyway, we have a new covenant. We have a new covenant. It's a faultless covenant. And he becomes our shepherd. And we have to listen to him.
That's excellent, Cherry. Really, I've taken heaps of notes. If I was looking away, it wasn't because I wasn't paying attention. I was just writing down heaps of notes. So thank you. That's wonderful. So
before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. Okay. Cherry correctly said, but for the benefit of those out in the third dimension, I want to expand on something that Cherry said. She said that that God has chosen us, right? Well, God has chosen us before the foundation of the earth. But what he has chosen us to is explained in, let me just go and I'll just read you Matthew 22:14. I believe this is really important because it's possibly can be misunderstood. In other words, God has not chosen us to be saved, right? Or to receive eternal life. That's our choice, right? Okay. You see, as Gloria explained in the communion, Jesus became the propitiation not only for us, but for the entire mankind. So salvation is available to all of mankind because of the blood of Jesus, right? But we have to accept that gift from our Lord Jesus. And we do that in accordance with Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. But let me just go back and explain in greater detail this about being chosen. And I'm going to read from Matthew 22, verse 14. It's just a little one sentence, and it says, For many are called, but few are chosen. What? What does that mean? You know what? For years, I didn't understand that sentence. For years and years and years. Many are chosen. Many are called, right? Many are called. Well, in fact, you cannot come to Jesus unless the Father, God the Father, draws you. God the Father calls and draws everyone. See, it could be misunderstood that many are called could mean, well, there's some that are not called. No. He would be showing impartiality if he didn't call everyone. So I'm going to word it this way. For everybody is called, but few are chosen. Well, why are few chosen? What are they chosen to be? Well, we can find that out over in, let me just find out, Romans 8, verse 29. I'm on my iPad, so just give me a bit of slack here while I go and find it. Romans 8:29, I'm going to read it. For whom he, God the Father, foreknew. All right, this is about, you know, we talked about many are called, but few are chosen. Well, who did he choose? Well, this is what we're talking about here. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined or chose, you could say. Well, what does this foreknew mean? Well, foreknew means, see, God knows the end from the beginning. And from the foundation of the world, or from the beginning of time, you might say, God foreknew who would choose to put faith in the name of Jesus. In other words, to come into relationship with Jesus in accordance with Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. So God foreknew this, right, ahead of time. He's God. He can foreknow things, right? He knows the end from the beginning. For those who he foreknew would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, them and only them, God also predestined to be conformed, but it's conformed to the image of his Son, right? It's not, he didn't choose them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He didn't choose them to be born again. Those who he knew were going to choose to be born again, he predestined. In other words, you cannot be born again and not become a son of God, because that is predestined, right? That part of it is predestined. You enter into sonship the moment you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to stop the screen share.
I just wanted to make a comment that I'm really pleased Gary actually expanded on that, because there are many denominations and various cults and churches and so forth that think that you are chosen and not predestined to be sons, but you are from the beginning of time.
Yeah, false doctrines that believe God does the choosing, that you're predestined. Yeah. And it's because of a misunderstanding of this. There's only a couple of verses that refer to it. It's because of a misunderstanding of this. So whenever I hear that word chosen, I have to nail it. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll be adding to that confusion.
Yeah.
Mm. I hope you remember the previous verse that we read, Emmanuel.
Yes.
You okay? You're ready to make a comment?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Wonderful.
The passage we read from Hebrews chapter 8.
Yes.
It's linked to Hebrews chapter 7, where it was talking about Melchizedek and Jesus being a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also a way of saying how different the new covenant is from the old covenant. And it's saying that in the old, the high priests were men. Now, Jesus being after the order of Melchizedek is because Melchizedek was not part of the Abrahamic line, like the line of Abraham, where the tribe of Levi had to be the ones chosen to be a high priest. So you couldn't be a high priest if you were not from the tribe of Levi in the old covenant. Yes. Now in the new covenant, Jesus became high priest, even though he is from the tribe of Judah. So he broke the covenant right there. He broke the old covenant right there. Mm. That's also because the order of Melchizedek is because Abraham being the patriarch of the whole line of, let's say, the children of Abraham, which became the Jews, Melchizedek was not part of it. So he could not be from the tribe of Judah, Levi, which means Melchizedek was not from the tribe of Levi. So technically, he could not be a high priest in the old covenant. In the same way, Jesus could not be a high priest according to the old covenant. So thereby saying that the old covenant has been discontinued. Mm. And the new covenant is similar to the order of Melchizedek, where the high priest is not from the tribe of Levi. That's Jesus Christ. And it also talks about where the high priests in the former covenant were men. So they couldn't live forever. They couldn't hold the position forever. They will die and somebody else takes over, and they die, another person takes over. But when Jesus became the high priest, because he is God and eternal, he holds the position forever. So those two are very important to link it up to the fact that because the old covenant could not take care of the issue, it only presented the problem, but did not present the solution. Jesus Christ in the new covenant presents the problem and the issue. He shows how in the new covenant, he is the high priest and he sits on the right side of God the Father. Our high priest, the high priest in the old covenant, was in the Holy of Holies behind a curtain, and he had to bring blood to cleanse his own personal sin before he presents the blood for the sins of the people. And God forbid, if he had an issue with himself, he would even be slain before he got into the presence of God. And according to Josephus, I mean, that's history, but they used to tie a rope on the ankle or some bells around his garment so they can hear him moving around and doing the order of service. And if they didn't hear him at all, they knew he was dead, so they could pull him out because nobody could go in there to get him. So when that scripture we read in Hebrews chapter 8 says that because the old covenant could not do what it was supposed to do, in that it was weak, God brought a new one. Because if the old one could do it, if it could take away the sins of the whole world, why did we need a new one? It couldn't do it. Because first of all, it was using blood of goats and sheep and animals. It took care of sins temporarily. And every week you had to bring another goat or another sheep or doves, turtle doves, or whatever it was. But Jesus Christ, being that his blood was the blood of God, it says it in the scripture that Jesus' blood was the blood of God, which means like you have a new puppy, beautiful one. If somebody unfortunately hurt your puppy and you needed a new one, then one puppy will be equal to another puppy. But if they gave you their son to replace the puppy, then the son is worth more than all the puppies in this world. Isn't that true? So when Adam sinned, God used God with us, who is Jesus Christ, who became man, to replace the sins of Adam. So Adam sinned, we lost him, but the replacement was not a mere man like Adam. He was God himself. That's why the blood of Jesus, as we took communion a few minutes ago, one drop of the blood of Jesus was more than enough to cover the sins of the whole world forever, for all time and for all people.
Yes.
Which the old covenant could not do, in that it was weak.
Mm-hmm.
It is very essential, the scriptures you read and the explanation Cherry gave and Gary gave. So many people, I personally was one of these people who for a long time did not understand that God could take care of my sins, even though I had not yet committed them, especially sins in the future. So you thought, okay, today you had done something to take care of your past sins, but tomorrow you need to atone for your next sins. And it was a daily routine. But that's old covenant, because it was in the old covenant that things were repeated, because they could not be taken care of once and for all. But when the blood of Jesus was shed, it took care of our sins once and for all, because the blood of the Son of God is worth more than the blood of men.
Yes.
That was my little comment over there.
Really well explained. Yes. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, can I get you to kind of introduce yourself to the people out there in the third dimension that are watching, because it's your first time in the Bibles, in this Bible study. So just tell people briefly who you are and where you're from.
I'm from Ghana. It's a country from on the west side of Africa. Mm-hmm. But I moved to the United States a long time ago, before Noah crossed, before Noah went into the ark. I was already in Colorado Springs.
Okay, what date was that?
Emmanuel, can you tell us a little bit about your ministry outreach? Because I know that yes. You do have a ministry, yes.
Yes, I do it on Facebook for now.
Yes.
I moved out here because back in 1986, I met a man called Andrew Womack. I mean, in tapes, I used to hear his
yes.
tapes. And I had just been born again just within a year. I was born again in 86, and within 86, I got to hear about Andrew Womack, and he always said, Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs. And I thought, one day when I grow up, I'll live in Colorado Springs. So I think I'm grown up now, because I'm living in Colorado Springs. So that was the link. But I moved here from Dallas, Texas, to come to Bible College at Caris Bible College here in Woodland Park.
Yes.
About 7 years ago. So
wonderful.
After school, we decided to stay.
Okay.
I'm just on Facebook sharing the word.
What's your ministry? Do you go under a ministry name?
Yes.
Promote that? How can people get in touch with you?
Emmanuel Gentle Ministries.
Yes.
That's all it is. So you look for that on Facebook.
On Facebook. Right. Okay. Wow. So there you go. Everybody out there who's watching on, if you're in that area and you want to get in touch with Emmanuel, then you can just look him up on his Facebook page and send him a message.
So both Cherry and Emmanuel are graduates of
Caris
Bible College, which is an offshoot of Andrew Womack Ministries. Gloria and I have been listening to Andrew Womack's teachings for me personally, it's since about the year 2000, 2002, when he first came on TV in America, because I was working in a very isolated place, and I said to my pastor, you know, it's not cutting it. I haven't found a church. I need to be keeping on getting fed. And he said, his recommendation was to partner with Andrew Womack Ministries, and he would send you that technology of that day was CD-ROMs, and I would get a CD-ROM each month with 30 of his gospel truth television series. And I listened to them 7 days a week for years and years and years. And so much so that people used to call me an android. They call me a womaniac. So, yeah, but, you know, even though Gloria and I haven't finished Karis Bible College, we're not graduates. We've been doing the first
year course. We're pickled in Andrew's teaching.
And, yeah, so there's more than just 3 years of or 4 years of Karis. There's just so much teaching on Andrew's website. And let me point you at Andrew's website. It's awmi.net. awmi.net. And his teachings are available for free. And
audio
guess what?
Downloads.
I like free. F-R-E-E.
Yes.
And you can get them for free.
Mm.
And where a lot of other ministries might have good stuff, but you've got to buy it. So that's a plug for Andrew's ministry.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're all of one mind and of one accord. Over to you, Cherry.
I want to put a plug too, because I have a story. I got the tapes all the way back. I've got stacks of them all the way back to 1983. And it was on my heart to go. One, you know, and then I became a mom and had an Aunt Ellen. She was a missionary. She went all over the world. She was just everywhere. Anyway, she would call me and she says, and I would tell her that I really want to go to Andrew Womack's school someday. And later on in life, she just called me point blank. And she says, well, when are you going to go? You know, when are you going to go? And I said, well, you know, Dad, my family thinks that he's a nut. And she says, oh, I'll take care of that. She did. She went out there. She actually flew out there for a meeting. And she went and she also ran into some care students that came and heard her teach. They came into she was being a part of a Bible study. And she said, man, Cherry, they were on top of the word. I cannot believe it. So anyway, I was having kids and stuff. But my point is, she checked it out. She says, that place is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the students there are just, it's all about the word.
Yeah.
It's about the word. That's all it is. It's the word. And so anyway, that's how I, you know, eventually went and never regretted it. Never.
Amen. Amen.
That's wonderful.
Well, Jesus was about people. All right. And Jesus, you know, we have just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. And Pastor Keith Wall said on the Bible study last night, every now and then, hardly a week goes by that Keith doesn't come out with an absolute nugget. He said, have you transitioned from the cross to the resurrection to the priesthood of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
We've just read today that he is our high priest forever. Right? See, it's the priesthood of Jesus now in the age of grace. We have one mediator between God and man. That is the man Christ Jesus. Right? Back in the old covenant, they had a man as their mediator. That was the man Moses. Right? But we, unlike the old covenant, we can enter into the holy of holies because of the body of Jesus. You recall the word says that when Jesus' body was broken for us, the veil in the temple was rent. Ripped from top to bottom, that could have only been God.
Mm. Yes.
Right? It wasn't from the bottom to the top.
No.
It was from the top to the bottom.
Mm.
That opened the way for us in the age of grace. It doesn't happen automatic. You have See, to enter into this new covenant that we have been preaching and teaching on today, you have to do it by faith, right? How do you apply faith to this gift of God? You do it by choosing. It's a choice. See, there's a difference between choosing to believe and having faith, because faith has quantity. You've heard in the Bible that you can have little faith, you can have great faith, and all varying amounts of faith. Even the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith, because they didn't understand. They didn't understand. See, it's all about believing. See, believing doesn't have quantity. It's like binary code, it's a switch. Belief, unbelief. You hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to make a choice. Are you going to believe, click, or are you going to be in unbelief, click, right? It's not a matter of the people with great faith get saved. No. You get the opportunity. You've just heard the gospel today. Right now, you have the opportunity to put your belief in positive mode. I choose to believe. The word of God is a seed. We've all heard the same seed today. What choice are you going to make? Amen. Are you going to choose to believe on Jesus? I'll give you the opportunity right now to do that. I'm going to invite you right now to put your trust and to make that choice to believe on Jesus. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you will confess with your mouth, that means speak it audibly. You've got to speak it audibly. If you will choose, Romans 10, verse 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the lordship of Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When I first heard that, I didn't even know what the word saved meant, but I knew what it was to receive my ticket to heaven. Yep, I want my ticket to heaven. That's what it's talking about. For you to know absolutely that you have received your ticket to heaven, you need to read Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10, which explains what you've just done in verse 9. There are only two requirements to receive eternal life. Join with me in this prayer right now. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I make this decision right now to invite Jesus into my heart and to ask him to be Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you that I can now call you my Heavenly Father, and I can now call Jesus my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time today, then Gloria's going to tell you where you can email us. And the reason you'd want to email us is this is just the beginning of your Christian walk. Mm-hmm. You've got, look, salvation is but the first promise. Yes, it's the major promise because you have just received eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you get to the pearly gates. Eternal life starts when you say that prayer. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in you. The Bible says that your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. No longer is God in that Ark of the Covenant. He is in our bodies, not in our spirit, in our bodies, in our earth suit, in with our spirit. The Holy Spirit's in there too. Our body, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Over to you, Gloria.
So yes, you can contact us at gfcd.sozo, that's S-O-Z-O, at gmail.com.
And we'll put you in touch with a minister in your local area, maybe mm-hmm. Cherry, maybe Emmanuel, mm-hmm. If you live in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And so this is a global ministry, right? And we've got connections with ministers yes. all around the world. So Africa, regardless of Europe, where you are,
England,
we can plug you in yes. for mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I said, salvation is the first of how many thousand promises in the New Testament?
7,000. Kathleen says there's more than 7,000 promises.
7,000 promises. Okay, over to you, Gloria, to close this Bible yes. study with prayer. And before yes. we do, I just thank Terry and Emmanuel for giving up their time today,
mm-hmm.
this evening in America, this yes. morning here in Australia,
yes.
To come and minister to you guys out there in the third dimension. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you that you have brought your family together, people from around the world who love you and want to know more about you and worship you. So we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for the reach it has throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void and that it accomplishes what the purpose that it was sent for. We thank you for all of those people who have given their hearts to you today or at some time in the future because of the hearing of the word. And we thank you and praise you and glorify your name. And we close this Bible study in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, if this Bible study ministered to you, then just remember where you've seen us, because we'll be back this time next week. That's goodbye, right. Everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining.
Yeah.
Bless.
Bye.